Mr. Scott, reel two. At 18, you should have gone in for national service at 18 years of age. What happened then?
Well, when I got out there, they were talking about, you know, the national service and being eligible for it. And father made inquiries that you could be exempt when you're 21 to finish serving your time as an apprentice, which is what I took advantage of. And then I got the usual letter to attend, you know, Warren, the travel warden was there, and off I goes down.
And this was at Stockton, was it?
That was at Stockton, yes. Well, medical passed first, and they go to Millsville, the medical, and passed the medical. And then got the travel warden to go down to Warren in Hampshire, to like different training centre.
How did your family feel about the fact that you were forced into the process?
Devastated, really, you know, because my brother Hugh got over, you know, mentally and what have you. And she said, no, not again, you know. I think she knew what she was going to go through again, you know. And, of course, off I went. Father took it like it's something's got to be done type of thing. But I think in them days, there was a lot of things, there was Malay and all that, so that, you know, I had some mates there in Malay, the King's Own Yorkshire, like you know, and what have you. And, because they went with 18. And I was thinking, oh, well, in the back of my mind, it's not right there, and I'm not. So, when I got to 21, I was glad I was going, you know.
Had they asked you at any stage which corps or regiment you wanted to join?
When I went to, had the medical, yeah, the colour line test and everything, you know, and I went to another office, and he did ask me then, and I said, well, I said, I'm born in Scotland, I said, I'd like to go to Scottish regiment. I said, any preference? I said, I'm like, watch. He said, oh, well, we'll see. I said, but, I said, is it possible for me to go to the Raby to carry on my trade? Oh, I said, well, we'll see. You get a trade test, fair enough, which I did at Borden. Got past 18, all that, and I thought, oh, great. So on the book there, we had test you passed and everything. And they come out and said, maybe the names are so. Scott J. W. You go to Bob and say that, you know, Barry Bailey was a lad I kept in touch with. You go to so and so, Fibro so and so. So, where's this? Oh, it's like Dingley Training Centre. So, that was down to Bob.
What date was this? What date did you, were you, in effect, became a national serviceman?
Well, I could give you the exact date. I think it was June the 21st, 1951. I think that.
So when you got to Borden, what was your reception like with that very first moment when you walked through the gates?
Well, I'll put it this way. The very first person I saw was a person from the same town. And I could use it, even a swine. I think while he was down there, he had a finger, well, he lost a finger, so he wouldn't be able to show him as a rifle and things like that. And he was doing it, instructing. And I don't know whether he remembered me, but I remembered him. But somehow or other, you know, like you just said earlier on, you come across the right one. It makes your life a bit awkward. But I've gone to talk. You see what the guard do is, you know, check you, point your boy down. And if he was on, you could definitely send me back. Somebody was wrong. All the other ones, no problem, go through. And then in the day, and I jumped forward a bit. A lot of years after, I bumped into him and thought, I thought he left the area. And he looked at me and I said, yes, and he walked out. Because I was that way inclined.
Yeah. What was his name?
Smales, I called him. Yeah. He'd been dead a few years now.
So you got to the, presumably, the guard room.
And they suspected, oh, good to get out.
But going through that very first day, that very first time.
I took us, the masters into shows the books, you know, on their village. And I sat there, and we all sat looking at each other, because we're all complete strangers. And I'm thinking, well, lightning for me, you're thinking, what regiment, you know, where are you going to go from here? You know, are you going to Malaya? Because Malaya, and I think, was Egypt going to go at the time?
I was just a bit too early, I think,
really, there was one or two forces across in Berlin and Hong Kong, you know, there was plenty of forces them days. So, and I was thinking, oh, where are we going? And all of a sudden, this fella, He walked in and he started.
He said Smales.
He started. Started bouncing on his arm. I want your kit and all this and that. Just, he didn't give us a chance to get orientated, put it that way, before we were in the army. From Simi Bank in an hour, you were there. Yeah. And mind you, I'll say this, I was a bit of a swine in that. Later on, I used to think, well, that discipline stood us in good stead. But when we went to Berlin, because we want to get more bull than we ever did. But the first day was horrendous, I must have, for me anyway. I didn't cry on like that, but you were thinking, well, what the hell are we going to do?
It was a huge change.
Yeah. Oh, it was massive, yeah, definitely.
Did you get your uniform and equipment the very first day?
First day? No, sorry. The show we'd let us sleep in that night, you know, the boat got dead. And then next day we got all proper bed and uniforms, etc. Yeah. And then
what uniform did they give you?
Just a basic BD.
Same as the Second World War, but
yeah, but the old green coat. Yeah. Yeah.
And how was it given to you? Were you measured or?
Well, it measured. I got measured for the belly, which I thought was that. the tunic, he went up, the QN, and he just looked at it, he said, ah, that's about yours. Yeah. And anyway, see, we're down there, so 2 or 3 days after, when you've run your first parade, it looked at you, oh, that one's in a chalk mark. It's a chalk round. I've been thinking, no, good, the chalk is, ah, that's too long, the colour's too big. There was chalk marks all over, and he went to the tailors, and yeah, I think it was about 3 days after that he went and collected, when they were reasonable fit. Yeah.
So you get your battle dress,
shirts, everything, yeah.
Underwear, yeah. So forth. Yeah. And was there a best battle dress too?
Your BD, best BD in your ordinary. Yeah. And then you're working like a
denim
khaki. With the old pouches, you know, all wrapped there, so that for your working. Yeah, maybe didn't do much working as such because it was all there for the drill and you know, breaking the discipline.
And all this was handed to you, as you say, some of it just measured by looking at you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you had to carry that out, presumably.
Out, yeah. And to say the chalk, because I thought, what are you going to do with the chalk? You know, you were laughing. What's the chalk for? But it was. So the tailor knew where to fire back the curtain and turn it over the curtain. But be, yeah. The ties, well, they were stuck on. It was, well, some of the lads got their own, like an ordinary tie, then some of them got that, like material, like a narrow one, like a knitted one, you could say, something different, varied. Yeah. And then came the boots.
How many pairs of those they give you?
You got two pairs, best in the world for working.
And these were your ammunition boots, the old ammunition boots, heavy boots?
Yeah, they're really heavy. Yeah.
And what condition were they in when they handed them to you?
Well, they were new. I still have, in a box there, some of the original studs that were issued in Berlin. And if people saw them now, that they'd all be able to be walking them. You know. And I always think back to the parade in Denver City when we were going to Korea. We used to skid it all over the place marching. And all the relations came down from Scotland to see it going off. Mm-hmm. Uncle Daddy's very taxed and God knows what.
We'll come to that, yeah, as part of the story, yeah, of course. So you got two pairs of boots, two uniforms, a great coat. What about webbing? Was that
the webbing, yeah, webbing for your ugly webbing, yeah.
Of the gaiters?
Gaiters, your belts, yeah.
Pouches and
pouches,
packs.
Pack, yeah, got all them. And in fact, while we were there, was a special, they allowed us to stay up later. What they called him was fighting sugar air for the time they took it off and had them tapping. And we thought that was great. Let us stop up for this and that. Mind you, I think, to be quite honest, if they'd have let us, they'd have been mutiny in the British Army. Because that was a fight everybody was, and I think the Sergeant Major realised that.
Can you describe the camp to me at Borden? Was it a permanent camp?
It was a permanent camp, yeah. Brick built, yeah.
And what did the buildings look like, Ken?
Oh, they probably just looked like kennels, you know, one rows, you know, rows and that.
Singles?
A bit of a square.
Single stories or?
One were two stories. Mm-hmm. Some were two stories, some were single. Yeah. And yet your wash basins, that were always at the end. And at one part of it, the wash basins were outside. Well, the ablutions used to call them. People who were talking about, you say the ablutions now, with what it means. And you used to go up there. And that's where you used to do your blank going. That would have done first with the boat, the blank one, and that's
can we look at the actual accommodation you were living in? Where was yours? Was yours downstairs, upstairs?
I was downstairs, yeah, in this one.
And how large was the room? How many men slept in it?
In the one I was in, there was some, and I think it was 24 on the side. But the one I was in was 12 on the side. But it was still... So it was primitive, you know, you bed and everything and that, but there was no wallpaper on the wall. It was just primitive, you know. It was,
and the beds you lay on?
The beds were there, just like a bunk bed, really, what we went into, yeah, and a mattress, yeah. And if I remember right, the mattress was straw filled, because we were far from comfortable.
Were there the beds that you could push in?
Some, it was funny, you know these, the type of collapsible ones, it collapsed. Mm-hmm. There was not one of them, but some of those were really old type, on the old wheels, right? It took it out to shift them, whatever.
So they were pretty mixed bag.
It was a mixed bag, yeah, in the one they built the house in anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, because some of them just went miles in my back.
What bedding had they issued you with?
It was polyas.
And sheets and blankets, sheets. How many of those did you get?
I think we got two khaki, if I remember right, these like heavy blankets. And I think it was one blue, like a bluey colour. And that was it, type of thing.
Sheets to lie on?
White sheet. You had a white sheet to lie on top of the palliasse, and a white sheet to your body, and then you had the blankets over the bed.
And pillow, of course.
Pillows, yeah. Yeah. Which were the old flock. Because you just went straight into it. Yeah.
Where did you keep your equipment and your uniform and so on?
Lockers at the side. But the lockers... They varied. Some were tall ones, which weren't so bad for having a uniform, but others were at like 3/4 when you couldn't get the clear coat in. You know, it used to be folded at the bottom and hanging on the top, you know, so it would fit in. Yeah. It was a bad. I mean, just the built I was in. The others, well, they could have been different, yeah.
How was the room heated?
It was all radiators, yeah. And they weren't very efficient, that's all I could say, yeah.
There weren't stove in the middle, it was just the heat.
No, there was just stove.
Any tables in the room?
There was two tables. One sort of, one end used out and the other end, you know, used that one. But what I liked about that one was, with not being so many, you got to know each other quicker. You know, I think when you get a lot, you tend to stop with little groups. But when there's a fairly sized group, you got to know everybody quicker, and it made a better looking atmosphere, you know.
Was there an NCO attached to the billet that looked?
Yeah.
And was he sleeping?
No, he'd be full corporal. He'd come down.
Sometimes they had them at the end of the wasn't though.
No, there was no one
with those. How did you keep the billet clean?
Oh, we'd go up and every morning inspect and brush. They all show them. Oh, I got you didn't miss that. Yeah.
So you had to keep it clean yourselves, obviously.
Well, yes, right, yes.
And how did you do that? What was the process?
I'm thinking now. You used to have a, how can I put it? Like a wax in a tin. And when you could remove it, you'd have to see it. Is it like a square thing on the end of it?
It's a bumper. This bumper, yeah.
So we went backwards and forwards, and them floors was, I believe me, were spotless. We had to keep them tidy, yeah. And beds, no dust on the beds, things like that, yeah. It was hard 6 weeks, and yeah.
And presumably you all had jobs to do that were allocated to you in the billet.
Yeah. If someone had to do the beds, one had the beds up, somebody doing the floors, windows inside, yeah. Outside, I can't remember. I can't remember his contact or something. I know he should go the inside. Inside, I don't know. I can't remember. Well, I never did outside anyway.
And did you stand by beds every morning to be inspected?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, inspected every morning.
And who would do the inspections?
Ours were basically the acme sergeant, or the sergeant lead, or the sergeant, he'd come round. Then, at the end of the week, I don't know if it was a second lieutenant or a lieutenant, he used to come round doing like a weekly inspection, which was a major one, you know. Yeah, just like a double check to make sure you weren't falling back on the standards. Yeah.
Kid inspections, how often did you have those?
Well, we didn't have a kid inspection. It was to make sure we had all the kid there.
But it was laid out, was it?
It was laid out. It was smart enough, but you went a bit further for nowhere near what we had to do.
Yeah, we'll come to that. Yeah. But you had to lay your kid out on your bed.
Bed on the bed,
And was that a weekly process or daily?
Well, we used to do it daily, yeah. Because you'd have one set, the best being day, you kept that for the weekend when you were going out, you know, it wasn't going to be pressed. Oh, we had the old iron and things like that to do as well.
And did you have an iron?
Iron there, yeah. So we took our own iron, and we tipped up, yeah. Well, don't go without an iron, yeah. That was the lads who we knew had been to Bourne.
So on this kit layout, was that to a certain prescribed way? It had to be
I think it was 15 inches wide or something like that. Not a million in line. And yet your belly had to be on the top with a badge showing in the middle.
Blankets, were they wrapped in a certain squared off?
But it wasn't to me it wasn't a hard inspection. You know, it was one you could do quite easy, you know. Well, of course, it was basically all training.
Yeah.
The inspection was over and done with, you know, in say half an hour, all over and done with.
What if you'd lost or misplaced an item of equipment, or what happened then? If you were missing something, did that occur at all in the
building? But I understand if you didn't miss it, you had to pay for it.
But you didn't have it, didn't.
Unfortunately. Well, fortunately, I had nothing. Because let's be honest about it, there was another rogue station vagabonds, put it that way. You've got to know them. So if you need them, you hid your kit, or you do your best to hide it from them.
The chaps that you were with, you said you soon got to know them with not having quite so many in the hut. What were they like?
Great.
They'd be quite a cross section, were they?
From all walks of life. Some lads have no parents, you know, and all things like that, and it's great. That's what they'll say right here now. I never think that between me and National Service.
Do you recall any of the people that were in that room with you at the very beginning?
I don't really. I have a photograph taken outside. Just a short time, the PT section, and I often look at it and try to think, but I can't remember them.
Did any bullying take place?
No, not. I think in our village anyway, I think if anything happened in Belgium, it wouldn't last too long. Because it was such a good spirit, you know, the mates. I don't know what other villages made, but the odd one or two, like, you know. We used to get the odd one. We used to try and outshine you know, with his uniform and that. And my uniform's quite a news type of thing, but he just got that right, because he was just as good as this thing, wasn't it? Yeah. All he wanted was he was smart enough to get out of the guard room one night out. Yeah.
What time was Ravalli?
I think it was about 6:45, 7 o'clock, something like that. It was early.
And you were obviously woken up by an NCO.
Yes, well,
What was the very first thing you did when you were woken up?
Oh, my thoughts was, oh, I think you would go again. You know, but you got into a routine and it just came out the back.
So you would get washed, shave, was that the first? Yeah, dressed, of course.
Dressed and then you lined up and cut the mess up.
And you did that before you cleaned the room, or put the room in order, did you?
Yeah, you got your breakfast and you came back.
All right.
You gear on, and then, because you knew if you did it beforehand, and you went, you might come back with a little drop of tuna, spill it, so you play it safe, yeah.
So you got dressed, so then you lined up and you would take the... Were you marched to the canteen, or mess hall, as you say, mess hall?
Yeah.
And how far away would that be from your billet?
About 30 yards, something like that. Mm-hmm.
It must have been quite a mass, that very, very first one that you lined up and set off. For you. All in step, all smart.
Yeah, it was... the track was still 140 paces a minute.
Right from the beginning?
We'd been doing that type of thing, oh well, it was just, you're walking up behind everybody, you know, bang, 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 yeah.
So you went to the mess hall, and what was the system of feeding you? Was it you lined up with your plates or whatever you had?
Yeah.
Had you been given, was it mess tins or plates that you...
We had mess tins all the time. I never had a plate all the time, was in the army. Yeah. Tell the line barely. Yeah.
So anyway, you lined up for your meal. What might you get for breakfast?
The usual eggs, sausage, beans. But the one I didn't like was it was always fat. No matter where I went, anyway, with the bacon, it was what I call stringy bacon or streaky bacon. It was bloody awful. Rubbish.
Porridge,
yeah, but. I think, if I remember rightly, I used to be porridge being Scottish, you know, and still you must have porridge. But I think there was something like cornflakes, something like that, I think we'd have that, yeah. Well, nothing flash, yeah.
But plenty of it, was there?
Plenty of it, was awesome, yeah. The meal time, at evening time, same routine, after you've done your drills and whatever, you've been training, if you've been out the range or whatever, the meal time was...
Well, I want to really try to work through a typical day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after your breakfast, you made your own way back, or did you march back to the...
You march back, yeah. You support outside the mess room, and then see who it was, says, it could have been a lance corporal, a full corporal, march you back, yeah.
And back at the billet, you said you tied it.
You got tied up everything, and then... I think it'd be on parade for about 9 o'clock, I think, or something like that. And then it was drill. You see, they had lecture.
What was the first, very, very first drill they taught you?
I'm just thinking. Riders up. How to move the right is phrase, what have you. That was the very first thing, you know. And then gradually, if I remember rightly, set off marching, and that was the year so much before I crashed into each other. Well, I think it took us 2 days, but after that, they were on the go, and then they got the old person that started coming into it then. But then, this other corporal, he used to say to you, where would you like to go to? You used to ask us, you know, where would you like to go to? Where would you like to be stationed? Well, of course, then everybody was plumping for Hong Kong or somewhere like that, you know what I mean? No chance, you know. And some of us used to say, no, we're not going to get anywhere. And they said, you'll know where you go, so when you go in the Naffy, put up a centre, put the post line up there. Yeah.
So you started off with this basic drill. And how long might that last in the session?
Well, it was you were there quite a while.
Yeah, so you'd be on the square doing this?
2 hours, you know, backwards and forwards, yeah.
Did you have a break in the middle of the morning?
Yes. A chap used to come with the old water cries. With a tea and that. Just a pot of tea, pot of tea.
The Dixie, yeah. Was
the Dixie thing, yeah. That was all. And then,
how long would the break last?
Quarter of an hour, wasn't long.
And then was it, what might follow? What might follow the break?
They go to a lecture, a general lecture on hygiene and things like that. You know, you're saying brain disease, things like that, you know. Actually, the morning, you didn't get time to think, because it was just, that was every day, the full 6 weeks I was there. It was, you were on the go. If you went on the drill, there was a lecture, or you were getting your battle test better. Because the first couple of weeks, 7 times, but then you gradually get the, like, to be smarter. And you were making sure your plate at the back of the gear coat was 9 inches to whatever in the bottom, you know, and like that. Yeah. Knowing that that would be good to get you out at night time for a little bit of entertainment. Yeah.
And was most mornings taken up with drills and lectures?
Yes, I would, yeah.
And then you'd come to lunch time. What time would the lunch break?
Well, it depended, because sometimes there'd be squads waiting to come on the square, and you might rush you through. Another time, they'd always know you waiting to come on, and you'd take longer. So it varied in that respect. So you didn't really know what time you were going to go for your lunch. Yeah.
What might you get for lunch?
Well, it was potatoes, mince, probably mince. And they also stand by custard. There was a bit of custard there. And sometimes, if I remember rightly, I always remember saying, oh, not that bloody sponge again. You know, these little things are coming back to me, you know, as I'm talking, yeah.
But again, plenty of it. You were well filled.
I never seen anybody playing hell about the law. They don't have skin for that, or yeah. It was good that you needed to. It was solid grub. You needed for the work you were doing the next day. Yeah.
Afternoons, what would you be doing in the afternoons?
Well, on the afternoons, what you got to do over, we were down the range a lot of times, firing a brain gun and your rifle and what have you.
Had you been given a rifle of your own at this point?
Yeah.
And presumably they would tell you how to look after it?
Look after everything, yeah. You got taught that. That was, a lot of that was done in the billet itself, on the floor. No ammunition, actually, you know, just down magazines and all like that. Then you took down to the range. And that's where we used to get a lot of laughs. When you were in the butts, if you're in charge of the butts, you know, back in the butts, and you used to be sticking where the butts went through, calling the butts away for the next match. And some of that's, you know, you used to have a bit of a competition, like, you know, some of that's oh, we have no chance. And the other said, yes, we have. The punks put the fingers up in the back to show they're going to hit them. And it, yeah, and it just gets so fun doing that. But then you, I think that's when you realise, once you started firing, you know, that it was business then, you know. Or you wouldn't have done the business thing sometime or other. Yeah.
What was the first range that you fired from? What distance?
I would say about 60 to 80 yards, something like that would be.
Yeah. And was this with the 303 rifle?
303, yeah.
You didn't do any with the .22, or that, it was
no,
straight under 303?
No, we haven't had any 303, we went to Korea, after the spend one. So we haven't
had. And did the, then the range extend, you know, the distance is extended?
They extended, you know, I actually forget now, if I used to fire that period. One thing to say, it was accurate up to a short distance, but after a certain length, it was go anywhere. Yeah.
Were they very strict on, you know, how you used your rifle? And
there was safety was 100%. There was always somebody as an instructor alongside you, especially when you're firing a gun.